Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Five Aside. Today we have Sam and Obe. Maybe Daniel might join us mid-call. So yeah. Guys, how far now? It's in the apple.
Chilling.
Good, bro. What's going on?
Successful hit watch for me today again.
Yeah. Well,
I think for all of us today is a successful hit watch.
Guy, nah, I didn't care in the beginning, Sha, but as 70 minutes mark don't reach, PSG never score. Hey, I was like, this might actually be real.
Yeah, no, I can't. Crazy. Yeah, I was scared at some point that this guy, if he didn't sub in Ruiz, that game was going to be over, man. But I'm glad he kind of came to his senses. Go ahead, sir.
I didn't even notice that he didn't even start. I think I was in a meeting and then I saw the first goal. I literally turned it on and I saw the first goal. So I didn't even get to see the lineup and what have you. I just know that Tottenham had played like some preseason games. And PSG hadn't even done, like PSG literally had the same schedule as Chelsea. Because obviously we didn't play the final for the Club World Cup.
Yeah, so, I don't think PSG had the required intensity.
They didn't have enough time to prepare and stuff. Like they were just like, and it showed in the beginning.
Also, I think Zaire Emery was not helping matters at all.
Yeah.
They started playing much better when Ruiz came on and Zaire Emery went out.
Oh.
Yeah, their midfield was very, very somehow. They played Vitinha, Emery, and Doué. Like, that midfield is just crazy, bro. Nah, I don't know why what he was thinking, but at least he brought in Ruiz and there's kind of like
Tottenham might actually do better. I don't know if I'll put them top six yet, but because that would be a huge jump. They're even lower than Man U last season.
Yeah,
that would probably be the craziest. If they make top five, that would be the craziest jump since Leicester.
I don't think any of them, Tottenham or United, are making top six, top eight. Personally, I think at least eight and below for both of them. Like that's my own. Mm-hmm. I think eight and below for both of them.
Yeah, see, this is my problem in preseason. Sometimes, because normally I know they still watch preseason, but like if you watch it, yeah.
You know, it's. I think preseason is a 50-50, right? You're never supposed to take it seriously because. You know, it's more about fitness and just like build up your fitness for the season and then try some, you know, tactics and, you know, things that you're working on. But preseason is also a very good indicator of what, like if the coach is cooking something. I'll give you an instance. When you guys were becoming serious, I don't know if you remember the preseason game you played against Chelsea.
I remember.
Tuchel's Chelsea.
Jesus.
Yeah. That was a very, very good precursor to like, okay. Arsenal ready to start cooking something.
Yeah. But there's context there, though, because before that season, that season we came fifth before the season prior to that.
Yeah.
We were still developing. We were still at...
But it's not from fifth to second is not an easy jump.
It's not
easy. When you're in the top four, like the space to jump becomes tighter. Like from like fifth or sixth down to like 11th, 12th can be anything. right?
Yeah, I agree.
It can be anything. But to start that jump from below Champions League to like 80 plus points, no.
But I guess what I'm saying, context is important because we are playing against Chelsea, a team that finished above us that time. Yeah, so we played well. That was that's a good indicator. But sometimes watching like Liverpool now lose to AC Milan or all these random games, I kind of don't know how to.
But I don't really think. Yeah, I think I kind of agree with that. Like sometimes depending on the team, the lineup that they even put up. Like if like a team like PSG now, like every time they lose, I try to look at their lineup. Even City, like if they are not playing their first team, obviously you can't take that game serious. But if they put in like a strong first team, and somebody still flogs them, regardless of whatever the hell is going on, as long as it's their first team that is playing, I think they should still be able to win if you want to be like a champion in the coming season.
True.
So that's just really what I look at. I just look at the squad that plays and like decide.
That's fair. Yeah. I think like for me, I think a better indicator of Liverpool would be the Crystal Palace game. I think that's a closer.
That's true.
I mean, you can ignore the Milan, whatever that scoreline was, but I think the closer fit is the Community Shield. That kind of gives you an insight.
Community Shield, Super Cup. I can
Super Cup. You can start to see like how people are going to like look that season. So.
Yep. Because at least there's a trophy. Players are motivated. They don't want to lose.
Fair enough.
But friendly games, there's nothing to lose. There's nothing to gain per se, except fitness.
Yeah. Except fitness, like. Malaysia Cup, Singapore Cup, all those ones, just forget those ones. Those ones are just for cardio.
Anyway, let's have everyone ask again. We say, do you guys have I always look at predictions. We all have like top six. What are your top six options? Maybe, and possibly, I don't really care about teams to go down, relegation, I don't care about them. Let's say top six.
Okay. Top six.
I'll let Opoeg go first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, let me start from six. I'm thinking Newcastle will probably be in there. If Newcastle are not in there, the other team that will call will probably be Spurs. I actually think Spurs can probably make top six. Fifth, I'll probably say like a Villa. I see Aston Villa like trying to fight for Europe at the very least. Fourth, top four, I'll put Chelsea in there for sure. I think they're actually challenging for the title this season. Their team looks very strong. And then, you know, the top three is where, and I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, I want Arsenal to be first. But I think City will also come back big, especially if Rodri. I mean, Rodri is injured till September, so we'll see. But if Rodri is back with these new additions, I feel top two will probably be like top three, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, then fourth, maybe Chelsea, fifth, sixth. Yeah, I'll give Villa will be in there. And I'll put Spurs. What I saw today, I think I had a glimpse into what Thomas Frank can play. And unless you're a pretty good team, I think it might be hard to like just win Thomas Frank like on all these like cheap goals. But yeah.
You have Spurs in sixth, not Newcastle.
It is a debate. So Newcastle is like the whole Isak thing. Without Isak, I don't know how they are going to perform. If Isak was there, then I would say for sure I can put them over Spurs. But right now, if this guy plays, this is 3-5-2, plays Kudus and this guy, actually looking at all the subs that we're bringing on. Bro, Solanke is on their bench, Dell is on their bench. I mean, those guys are not crazy, but bringing them off the bench, actually, if you have like a good system going on, they might be able to cook in the prep. And so, yeah, that was my prediction.
Okay.
So I think for me, it's like, I think about like position in the league is more about how many, obviously how many points you can get, but like, how often are you able to beat like smaller teams, right? And I think the problem with Spurs for me, where I see this Thomas Frank's team, is that I don't see, they only have a true passer in Bentancur. I don't see like I don't see enough, like, they're both of their goals today were set pieces. That's Thomas Frank's calling card, right? Now, set pieces can only take you so far. I would be surprised if set pieces gets him into the top six. I don't see enough, like, chance creation from him, from his teams in general. I don't see enough chance creation from the club, especially now that Maddison is out for the rest of the season. I don't think it's enough for me to put them in the top six. I have them actually like maybe seventh, eighth or thereabouts. I don't have them in top six because I'm not sure. I'm not convinced with their chance creation. However, with big games and big teams, oh yeah, they will definitely cause havoc. The same level of problems that Brentford used to give teams, especially away, they'll probably step it up a level because Tottenham is, by resources and club name, a bigger club than Brentford. So I think they'll be able to step it up. But I don't think that they are able to... I'll be surprised if they can get the points against teams like Sunderland or Leeds all the time. I feel like those games might end up in unnecessary draws. So that's why I have them outside the top six. Now, I agree with Okpe with the Newcastle thing. If Isak stays, right, and obviously they won't start him, they'll have to fight, and then, you know, maybe probably bring him on later on in the season, and I think Newcastle will do something. However, I think that Newcastle tend to struggle when they have Europe involved, when they're involved in Europe, right? Yeah, their game is very high intensity, high pressure. They are always running Eddie Howe style of play, right? Now, that works when you only have one game a week. So every week you can be running up and down. But they have Europe, and they don't just have Europe. They have Champions League. I think if they don't, their recruitment has been terrible. Like we've all seen the transfer window. They've lost damn near all their targets. They got Ilanga. I think they got like a couple of other people, but I don't know. We'll wait and see till September 1st. But I think the added Europe slows them down. So I have them at sixth. I have Villa at fifth, just because I don't see any... that unless Watkins leaves, I don't see anything wrong with Villa right now. I think Onana will probably have a better year than he did last year. I think that they will just keep chugging along. And then their own level of Europe is Europa League. Not as tasking as Champions League, but still a slight distraction. At fourth, I have Man City. I think that City had a problem that before the Rodri year, like before the Rodri injury, and that was he was literally the only person that was fully functional in a defensive capacity for them. I don't think they've resolved that. And they are trying to sell the other guy. Is it Nico? The guy they were calling Baby Rodri.
Nico Gonzalez.
Yeah, Gonzalez. They're trying to sell him as well. I don't think they've resolved that problem at all. They brought Cherki, and Cherki can probably try and, you know, do with De Bruyne numbers. I doubt he'll like replace it fully, but he will try. Right? They have Reinders, but Reinders is more of like a box crusher nowadays, especially with his stint in Milan. So yeah, I don't
famous.
Yeah. So I don't think they fully resolved those defensive issues that they had. Like it's not just going to go anywhere. There was a reason why they were struggling that time. It's not magically going to fix itself. Obviously, we all fear Pep because Pep has had this league on strings for a number of years. So nobody's going to I'm not going to put him outside top four or something. But I don't think that they fully resolve those issues. And I think it will come back again. I have my third between Chelsea and Arsenal, but out of respect for Arsenal claiming 80 plus points for past 3 years, I'll leave it to them to be second, right? And I'll put Chelsea as third. I'll put Chelsea as third only because I'm not sure we have a Levi Cole-shaped problem that is not, I guess it can be fixed within the squad. The manager said he wanted a centre-back to replace Levi Cole, but I think they are just going to go with, we're going to go with what we have. It's kind of gut-wrenching because Levi was finally coming into his mold, his own.
Who's going to replace Levi Cole? Well,
I think they're going to do a Tosin, Chalobah pairing. But it was Cole that started growing into his stature, because I was very, very critical of Cole. Like, I've been one of his number one, I wouldn't say haters, but I've been on his case for a while. But towards the end of last season, he really, really grew, and he grew into the centre-back that we always assumed he would be from his loan at Brighton. So out of being conservative and the fact that Chelsea haven't cracked 80 points yet, even under Tuchel, I'll wait and see. So I'll take the conservative route. I do think that we'll probably be in title talks, but that's me going too far. But out of respect for the teams that get 80 points and beat smaller teams consistently and gather points even when they don't play well, I'll give Chelsea third, and then I'll give Arsenal second. I think that Gyökeres is a very, very serious signing. But I also think Kai Havertz, funny enough, I have a strong feeling that he'll take it personal and he'll actually perform this season. The reason why I don't put Arsenal first, right, despite, you know, the last time Arsenal were second, they were first in the Wenger year. So now Arsenal fans feel because they'll be second, they'll be first. The reason why I don't think that is because you guys have a chance creation problem, right? And you've had a chance creation problem since the end of last season. You still kind of do this Odegaard thing, like the whole Odegaard problem, and the fact that the Martinelli side of your football is quite frankly empty. I guess you bought Madueke to fill that void, but I don't think it's enough. Now, if you get Eze or somebody, or Arteta does something to rejig that place, then maybe you're cooking. But I don't think you create enough chances right now. I think you still have the best defense in the league. I don't think you have created enough chances for me to say you are going to, like, dog walk the rest of the league. Now, obviously, Liverpool, I think they have problems, but I think they'll somehow sort it out and probably. So that's my prediction.
All right. A couple of things. Sorry, before you talk to that, I just wanted to. Honestly, I see what you're saying about, like, City at first, but I just think City, like, towards the end of last season, they started catching up, and it seemed like Pep started figuring out how to work without Rodri.
That's a good point.
And they actually were, even though for this thing, Seth, they could have entered that second, because at some point when I was in the flop, I was like, City will pass us for sure. So it's like, especially with the additions that they made, I think part of City's problem was legs in the midfield. They had, like, older guys. Mm-hmm. And right now, they sold the older guys. Like, really, Bernardo Silva is the only older guy that will be coming off as a sub. Cherki, all he needs to do is have work rates alongside, even that Renders. That guy, I get what you're saying. Like, he's a crasher, but that guy does a lot more. And is actually, like, they have, like, a shitload of goal outlets now. Whereas, like, I think their only problem would just be defenders. And I think signing, like, Nuri, I think they signed another defender. Or they are looking to sign one. I think with just that, their attacking power, they just need to, like, play together more. But, I mean, everything I prediction last. And then Arsenal is, like, I see what you're saying with Havertz. Me, I'm thinking, for us to definitely win, we would need another left winger. Like, Odegaard, I don't see Odegaard as the problem. I hear all this talk that, Odegaard is not creating enough. But I think what Odegaard, Saka, and Ben White, or even Timber have going on in that right side, there is no point disrupting that. Like, I don't see any world where bringing in somebody now in place of Odegaard will be like a sure, like, this guy benching Odegaard. But obviously, we can sit down on the left wing. Any better left winger that they bring will bench Martinelli straight up. And with Martinelli and Gyökeres adding chances, that was only Arsenal's problem, like, creating chances, like you said. So if we're getting more outlets from goals, I don't think people will be looking at Odegaard. Like, he will still give his 1-2 goal contributions, but if Zubimendi is connecting with Gyökeres to bring their own, and then there's another guy on the left wing that is buzzing and can actually, like, take on defenders, I think for sure, Arsenal will be cooking. And then Liverpool is just like, low key, Liverpool, I'm still iffy about their defense. Seeing the way they played and stuff, Liverpool is low key still. Like, yes, they can definitely buzz and win games. But there's still some figuring out in that defense, especially if they have injury and they don't sign anybody. For sure, I know they are not going to be able to like compete with the number of games. So,
okay.
But yeah,
can I do a counter to your counter?
No, counter, counter.
Okay. So the City points, right? You say that they were low-key chasing Arsenal, but that was after Arsenal were like, you know, they were kind of like trudging towards the end of the season. City only finished 2 points above Chelsea, right? Only 2 points above Chelsea that, you know, were not...
Compared to how bad they started?
Compared to how bad... Well, you say compared to how bad they started, but they only started falling off in Christmas. They were at the top too. They were in the top.
He's won this guy chops injury, and his injury has started... I'll verify it. Let me know the chance.
They were still high up in this. They were still like third for a long time. So my point is with City is that they added legs to the midfield, right? But how they added legs, two things, right? Two things depend on City, you know, going there, wherever there is for them. You are expecting Rodri to come back from an ACL and his current injury to almost the same level that he was before he got injured, which is an assumption, right? You're also assuming that Reinders does enough defensive work, because that's literally the only person that is worth starting for them right now in that position. You're assuming that Reinders is going to do enough defensive work to cover the deficiencies they had. They bought Aid Nouri, but Aid Nouri, anybody that knows Aid Nouri or even plays FPL knows that his worth is in his attack, not in his defense. So there's really not too much difference in their defensive play. City didn't have problems scoring last season. That was not their issue, and it hasn't been their issue for years. So another attacker to add more goals, or a defender to add more goals, isn't really like, you know, what is necessary. That makes sense.
I know they added more legs and energy for sure, and I guess more speed and dynamism to the attack. Maybe that's the idea.
But they are using Savinho selling Savinho to Tottenham also.
Yeah, hopefully to bring in like Rodri in Madrid.
Apparently. Yeah, Rodrigo. Yeah, they are working on that. But I don't see, I truly don't see what they've done to change their defense.
I agree. Problem. Let me give my own distinct prediction.
Oh, okay, one second. Let me just put this Arsenal point before I finish. Okay. This is the last one. I said the City one to counter his counter. Then the Arsenal one is, I don't think Arsenal are going to buy another left winger. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think Eze is going to be brought in to be an out wide winger like Martinelli. At Palace, he plays the inside 10, right? Because Palace plays wing backs. Right, so he plays the inside 10, which works for them wonderfully, because the beginning of the season he was looking funny because he was asked to play out wide. Right. So now when they made it like full wing back oriented, Munoz, Tariq Mitchell, him and Sar in the 2 10s, then it started looking better for him. I don't think Arsenal when I spoke on the Odegaard thing, I wasn't saying they should replace him more. I meant he's the captain now. I meant he has to come out, he has to find the form that he had 2 years ago or the season before, right? Because towards the end of last season, too many Arsenal fans were shouting that he should get lost because he was not playing up to par. So I'm not saying you should change that. That side is fine, whatever is going on there. I'm talking about the Martinelli side, right? There needs to be a solution to that.
And the solution is to replace Martinelli.
I'll get to that.
Okay, go ahead.
For me, okay, top six. My sixth, okay, I'll leave this out there first of all. I don't think Liverpool is winning the league again.
Fair enough. Win it.
I actually think it's between Chelsea and Arsenal.
Ooh, hot stick.
I don't think Liverpool is winning the league. And I'll give my reasons later.
Are you starting from 1 to 6 or are you starting from 6?
I'll start from 6th, but I'll just leave that one. I'll just let Onana know. All
right.
Sixth would be. Villa. I have Villa at six. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be in around 4 to 6 for sure, but I'll just leave them at six. And same as Opey, if Newcastle keeps Isak, I still see them making top six as well.
Mm-hmm.
Probably fifth. Although I'm starting to like rethink that because I don't know what version of Isak would get.
That's a good point too. That's a good point.
Yeah, the relationship seems to have more. He has burnt it. He has burnt that bridge. Every day, saying new statements. Apparently, says he's never going to play for them again. So that's wild. I don't know how they will fix that. But I still think their team is quite solid at the end of the day. So they could still make top six. Maybe them. So they'll be fifth. And fourth would be.
Wait, are you saying your six is dependent on the Isak part?
Yes.
So without Isak, do you think they'll make top six?
Who?
Without Isak, do you think Newcastle will make top six?
If they get. They will definitely get a striker. If. Jackson. If Isak.
Jackson.
I think they'll get somebody. They'll get somebody. But. If they get someone like maybe like Jackson, maybe I will toss him and replace them. Or Manu replace them.
I'm not putting Manu anywhere in my top seven.
No, I think Manu get close. I think Manu.
I don't believe in those that club one.
I think Manu might get close. I think he might get to eight.
Okay, unless that one.
I don't think he'll be as they will not be as bad as last season. And Mbeumo is a very good signing. Also, I feel like Manu has. Improve their transfer strategy at least. As opposed to going for players that nobody wants. They're actually getting players that desired. Like, I never saw any club going for Zexy. I never saw any serious club going for Zexy. Neither did I see any serious club going for Hojlund. So those kind of signings at least I think of the past. So they've done some good business, even though they still need to sign a midfielder. If they sign Baleba, that might bring them up to like 7 to 8. But so sixth will be Villa or Newcastle. Sixth Villa, fifth Newcastle, fourth Man City. I also similar to Sam. I don't think Man City has done enough this transfer window for now. But also, I think the top four will be very close. Regardless, I don't think this top four will be the same as last season's top four, season before. I think it's tough for this season to be close. So, but yeah, City's defense, especially their wing backs, I think they need work. Aguero is not really a defensive wing back, neither is Cunha. But I think Aguero is good, but I think they need to upgrade Cunha. Actually buy a real fullback as opposed to...
No, Nunez, I mean.
Yeah, he's not that great defensively. In midfield, I agree with Ope. They have more legs there. So I think their pressing game will improve because one of the reasons they suffered last season is that they couldn't press as much as they used to. Man City were the best pressing team for years.
True.
But last season that changed. They were not even close. So teams found it to counter them as well.
Just something to quickly put to that. So
yeah.
I get what you're saying. If you guys remember also last season, City had a lot of injuries.
True.
Not just Rodri's injury. Ruben Diaz, who is even Akio was injured at some point. At some point, they were playing Akanji. It was just Akanji and one other person in centre back. Like, I think it's on one game, Rico Lewis even had to go injured. Rico Lewis still got injured at some point, which he's a starter, honestly. Like, he's a top talent. He was benching this guy for the longest.
Please.
He's weak, but he's still a baller, bro. So without their injury problems, come on. Yeah, I see them contending, but let me leave you. Keep going with your rankings.
Yeah, so City. They need to do more business. But I think they'll still finish fourth or third, and they'll be in and around the title challenge for sure. Chelsea, I have them third only because of the past few seasons. But I think their team is quite solid, even though defensively I've always seen their defense as Cole and whoever else they add. I think Cole is their main defender. So him being injured puts some question mark, a huge question mark to me, because
he just bought Hato. Do you know who Hato is?
Hato is Cucurella's replacement, not Cole's replacement.
Oh, my fault. I don't know how many players I get, honestly.
I think Kowi will be a huge miss, so I'll still put them third.
If you put them third, how do you have them chasing the title with Arsenal? You said...
Sorry, my mistake. Sorry. You're right. I'll put them second. Thank you.
So who's third then?
I forgot Liverpool. So maybe this means that maybe deep down I still fear Liverpool.
Yeah. You're not too sure we're removing Liverpool from that list.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me. I'll put Liverpool third. The reason I think Liverpool is third is because I don't remember a champion making this much changes to their team. I think...
How many changes though?
Their entire attack is their entire front line, but Salah is changing.
Gakpo always played.
Who?
Gakpo is their left winger. He always played.
He used to start. Their strongest team is Diaz, Gakpo, and Salah. Actually,
yeah, that's their strongest team.
But now they will have.
Or rest in peace, Jota.
Now they will have Ekitike playing as a striker. Him and Gakpo, they are exchanging that left wing. And then they brought a better creator in midfield. I don't know which midfielder could be better than Wirtz they had before.
There's probably no one.
Wirtz is playing 10. They sold Trent.
Their midfield trio is McAllister, Gravenberg, and Wirtz.
Yes.
That's midfield. Yeah, so Wirtz will be the third person. He'll be playing 10. Yes.
So you think they'll bench Szoboszlai?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Szoboszlai doesn't look better than Wirtz in their last game, but it's a friendly game, so I don't know. I guess. Anyway, what was I saying? Trent is gone, so I think that changed a lot in the dynamics. From the games I watched, the community showed them before. This I think now I'm starting to see Arne Slot trying to actually bring his own ideas, because this Liverpool is not necessarily playing like other Liverpool. They're a little bit more. I can see that Ajax vibe, not Ajax, Redivisie vibe to their playing more now. I think he's trying to bring his philosophy to Liverpool now. This is it. So we're going to see that. So to me, this is Slot's first season in my brain. this is where we see the new Slot. And I don't know. I think he's an amazing coach, don't get me wrong, but I think it might take some time for his ideas to fully bed in. Trent was a very, very big part of their creative play previously. So now he's gone. Yeah, I just think there's a lot of changes that are going to happen. Yeah, maybe not personnel per se, but I still think, I mean, Kekres is new.
Kekres is an upgrade.
Kekres is the one that was benching. He's going to be benching.
Not even Trent,
is the other guy. Frimpong is my idea. Frimpong is a right winger, bro. Fuck all these things that you're saying. Oh, Trent. I mean, yeah, I get Trent's creativity, but if we're being honest, I carried Trent last season. Trent wasn't, he didn't have that many seasons last, that many assists last season. It was Salah that was just doing his thing. So, really and truly, in my opinion, Trent to Frimpong is not such a huge downgrade. At some point, I can even say it to be an upgrade, because Frimpong is better than Trent defensively.
This might all be upgrades though, but I still think they will still need to gel well.
Need time to gel.
I agree with you. I think the changes are to be fair. I see what you're saying.
I think it's better. It might be better than Trent eventually. I don't know, but also, Wertz will need some time himself to actually become the Wertz we know in the prison. It can also look good, but Salah is not getting younger, first of all. That's on that point. Salah is not getting any younger. So, do I think Liverpool is going to run away with the league this time? I don't think so. I think they'll come third. I think Chelsea will come second, and I think Arsenal will come first. I agree. Last season, we struggled to create. we struggled to create last season as much as previous season, and that's probably because Odegaard was not his best. I have to say that, even though I rate him highly, but last season he was not his best at all. Also, I think his early season injury probably had a part to play in that, and then he came back probably after a short while. Saka also got injured, so that's his partner in crime. Martinelli, the less about that, the better. but also, I think we became too predictable as a team. The previous, I know partly Odegaard's form dipped, but also, bro, we've been doing the same thing for two seasons running. Literally, him and Saka playing 1-2, 1-2, and trying to get Saka into the box. At some point,
I think that the thing about the Premier League, right, the beautiful thing, and the only person that knows how to really do this thing well is Pep, right? Where every season he's cooking something brand new. Yeah,
but let me get there. I think Arteta is trying something different.
Sorry.
Because, yes, I think that right, heavily right-handed play, we're not going to be dependent on that anymore. Because, I mean, from the signings, clearly, we are going for quicker football. I don't think we're going to play that same possession heavy football every game. Maybe against the Liverpools and City, maybe. But I feel like we are going to employ more transition play to our game, because we are terrible from transitions previously. This season we can't be, especially
how are you going to be better in transitions? Zubimendi.
Yes.
Zubimendi's weakness in his play is long passing. I hope you know that, right?
You watched the last game, though.
Yes, I watched the last game, but the analysis of the player profile, mm-hmm. right, over a longer length of time is more important than the one game you played against a bad, a not so good team.
But, yeah, I get your point, Sam. In the arsenal of you know, other attacking tactics that we have. So it's like, yes, like obviously, like Zubimendi will not just be playing long balls every time. But mm-hmm. I see, actually, in the game that even happened in Villarreal, like Arsenal just needs to score one goal or one or two goals with Gyökeres. Like, once you can create that first chance, score one goal, and then we sit back in this defensive type formation. I feel like Arsenal will be very defensive this season. I mean, they always are. And once Wenger scores, before you score, it's Wala. And then by the time you think you want to attack and you think Arsenal will not build transition, that's when Zubimendi will start unlocking all these passes. And it will be easier for him to do that then, because it's like there's more pressure on the other team.
He was releasing the ball.
Why don't you think that Arsenal are going to win the league, or where?
So I was saying, from what I noticed, from unless he was, I thought I was just trying to trick us, just to maybe make us think that that's the plan. From what I noticed, Mendy was releasing the ball way faster than maybe Partey used to do. So they kept trying to, release Gyökeres, and even when Madoka came on as well in that game. Madueke and Gyökeres are two very, quick players who can take advantage of transition situations. So those signings suggest that that's the idea, at least to add that to our arsenal, I guess, pun intended, to add that to our arsenal of attacking weapons. Zubimendi too is someone I think, maybe unlike Odegaard, will probably release the ball quicker. Because Odegaard is very, very good when it comes to, like, I guess, pushing things back and holding position and trying to play like quick balls around the 18, to try and break down low blocks. But I think Zubimendi's passing will be more useful for quicker attacks as opposed to Partey. Like, Partey was kind of like Odegaard as well. But I think that will add more dynamism and give us more choices and more tactical flexibility as well. I don't think we'll struggle to create as much as we did last season, because we have two completely different profiles now in attack, Havertz or Gyökeres. So teams are not going to be sure how we're going to play every time. So I'll be surprised if we have the same issues as we did last season. Because one thing I don't like about Arteta, but I also like about Arteta, he knows how to react. I've seen us change several times over the seasons. So I never thought we'd ever be dependent on set pieces until last season. That's something that I've in my time of watching Arsenal, I've never seen. But I know back in the days, apparently we used to be like that. But I never saw us as that kind of team. So I mean, I don't doubt Arteta when it comes to like switching up or changing ideas or whatnot. So we'll see. But anyway, if he doesn't win this league this season, bye bye. But so how to put him first? If not, well, yeah. Okay, you were saying something. Why don't you think Arsenal will win?
I mean, honestly, it's just because of like I've said it over and over. We Arsenal is not signing the players that I want them to sign for. This Mendy signing will be announced in January. Jokeres, we announced that one throughout the whole summer, and then we signed who else? Madueke. I mean, Madueke, I like him. I like him as a bench player, but we still need like a starting winger. I don't know why we didn't go and loan Rashford, honestly. Or look at loaning, what they call his name, Rodrigo. Any other winger.
I didn't even want Gyökeres. All of you, boy, all of you wanted Gyökeres except me, though.
You see, honestly, so who did you want, Sesko?
I wanted Isak.
I mean, obviously, Isak didn't want to come to Arsenal, bro. Like, Isak has made it clear that it's Liverpool that he's trying to go to. And, man, I don't want player to be coming. Oh, like, definitely, Isak is better than Gyökeres. But if Isak is saying he wants to go to Liverpool, there is no point forcing him to come and play for Arsenal. That's not the kind of player. Gyökeres obviously wanted to play for Arsenal. And he's not a bad punt. Yeah, honestly, like, I'm not thinking Gyökeres is going to be the one and done savior. And that's why I'm not thinking, oh, for sure, I'm just going to win the league just because you signed Gyökeres. But signing another winger, actually, if they can make that throw, that's when I'll know Arteta is serious. But me, I've already told you, like, this season, once we lose one game, I'm not more even watching us now. Like, I'm not following us.
I think that's too extreme.
See, I'm very extreme. See, once we lose, because that's the way our season always goes. Like, Premier League is getting to that point where most of the time, the winners of the league are like, they get like 90 points. So for you to do that, you need to win at least. I would even say win your first 30 games. After that, you can start drawing and losing and all this foolishness. But what my expectation of Arsenal is, based off of our previous season, if we end up signing a winger that is preferred, like a preferred left winger that is a top talent, I don't care who they sign. They should just sign somebody, honestly. And then with the addition of Gyökeres, definitely, I don't see my standards are that high for the club already that we are supposed to win every game. Like, I don't care. Like, in the league. Because, honestly, like, maybe not every game. I'm exaggerating. Yes.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Nobody can tell. Yeah.
Like, you cannot win everything. Liverpool, Man City, home and away. But all these, hey, we are losing to Fulham. Hey, I'm not hearing all that rubbish anymore, bro. Like, if we lose against those small teams, we are not ready to win the Premier League. And that's just it, in my opinion. That's how the winner of Premier League goes.
Can I interject some? I feel your problem hasn't been losing, though.
Like, yeah, drawing.
You had the same number of losses that Liverpool had last season.
Right.
Yeah, but you had, like, exponentially way more draws.
Draws. No, go ahead. Finish.
And the drawing part is owing to, like, to two things, like probably one thing, really, right? Is that chance creation thing, right? Like, your defense used to hold when you do what, nil to the Arsenal, Abi, or what's that song you guys always say? Like, you score 1-0 and then it's okay for you, like, right? But over time, right, the Premier League will adapt, and that 1-0 that you use to go through 22-23 and then, you know, keeping clean sheets and whatnot, you need to buffer that with, like, more chances and more goals. I think a lot of times Arsenal fans, right, are thinking like, okay, it's because we don't have a nine. But I think Havertz and Merino did pretty okay, to, you know, for the job that they had to do in that position. I think that you need to have on, like, there's no Premier League team I have seen in my life, right? Any Premier League winner that I have seen that has struggled with chance creation, right? Obviously, there are other facets that you need to win the league. You need a good defense, you need a good keeper. You need all, there are many things you need to win. But there is no team that struggles with trans creation that wins the league. Like, Liverpool creates a buttload of chances, so much so that Darwin Nunez was not enough to spoil their market. Like, they create so many chances at will.
Yeah.
And I think that last two seasons was when you guys almost had it. You were that close. We were just, like, it was just you know, one or two things. But last season, the chance creation was...
Can I add what you're saying?
Yeah.
To me, the biggest indicator was that Bayern game. Like, I always say, no matter who we had as a striker in that game, we are not scoring anything. That second leg, because it became so obvious that, like, and it's not even about getting like a passer or whatnot. I think we need players who can actually create chances by themselves as well. More of them.
Yes, yes, I think you do. And it's
yes, and
that like a left winger or a left midfielder.
Yeah, that's why I was always saying that I personally felt like a very dynamic forward was more important to us than a traditional nine, if I'm being honest. I think that was it. I think it's more important to us. But personally, I think this push for that nine, I think it's just Arsenal kind of like just folding that pressure. It's pressure. Yeah. Yes. Because honestly, if we could spend that big money on someone like Rodrigo or someone I don't even know about that, like, could do offer similar to what Saka offers on the right, even better on the left. Who knows? But I think that would have been. That would have made me happier, to be honest. Because, guys,
I mean, I see your point. But part of the issue is, and I get that Merino didn't do terribly, but we don't have a striker. Like, and that is just
that needed to happen too, Sha. That needed.
Well, yeah, that will happen. But guy,
needed. Like, regardless, I get Havertz is not a bad. Me, I don't hate the Havertz. Havertz is good. He gives you something different from a traditional striker. So
yeah.
I'm not against Havertz coming in as a striker, coming in as a midfielder, whatever Arteta wants to do. But if Havertz is your only option in the forward line, and then right after Havertz is Merino playing strike, that is crazy work to me. And even the Jesus that we even had, that is even another strike, that one too is a winger. So we, like, everybody on that team, there's nobody that can shoot. There's nobody, like, I get chance creation. All this chance creation is still, like, it's not just about creating chances. The only way to score is not to have through ball and somebody will do one crazy pass. You can just carry the ball. Arsenal gets the ball around that 18 box yard.
Yeah.
A shooter, somebody that knows how to shoot, you just need to lay it off for him and bang that in. So, most of our players, that is our problem. We don't take enough shots. The Travis that we had as a striker, he wasn't taking shots. Odegaard doesn't take shots. The only person that shoots on our team is Saka and maybe Trossard when he comes off the bench. Martinelli's shot is rubbish too. Now I'll be shooting like all this finesse. I don't care. I don't like finesse.
Yes, that's why I said dynamic forward. Because think about it. How many times do we see Haaland shooting from outside the box?
He's usually how do they shoot though?
Not every time though. He's when they create for him. He might the quarterback will shoot inside the box.
I think that Gyökeres will also help with chance
creation. Yeah, I think he will help for 100%.
I think he will help very, very well because he's one thing that is the most important thing in football. He's a bagsman. He's a bagsman. And because he's a bagsman, he takes off attention. He takes defenders' attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he occupies them. Meaning that, in theory, there should be more space for the people that usually don't have space, like Saka. Right. So I that's why I think that, you know, I think he brings more of a threat than Havertz. Like, I think in theory defenders.
I think it's an upgrade.
Yes, for sure.
I think it's an upgrade.
I think it's an upgrade for sure.
What I was saying though is that a dynamic forward, that's the kind of person that you just take the ball do what they want to do, shoot, dribble, do something. Because a lot of times, like I mentioned Haaland, it's not like Haaland is coming around to Man City and shooting. He's usually Foden, De Bruyne, the guys around him that the ones actually taking the shots outside. He's usually inside the 18 waiting for a pass. A lot of times, he might end up even getting the ball like 5 times in the entire game and maybe score 2. But he's not going to be the one that the game is revolving around completely. Like, Gyökeres is great. But kind
so,
of
so, is Gyökeres, so you don't think he's dynamic? Is that what you're saying?
Who?
You don't think Gyökeres is dynamic? Because you're saying
I think so, but I would have liked also if they got someone like Saka on the left as well, who can take the game by the scruff of the neck. Because
now, we should just spend the money. That's we're all saying the same thing. They need to spend more.
But I guess I preferred that more than even a 9 self. I wanted a forward who could score goals, but is not literally restricted to just being a center forward. But I mean, those people are rare.
Who would you get in the markets like that?
I guess they are very, very rare.
I think you can buy Mbappe.
Exactly. Unless
Mbappe. I have a bias towards players like that. Even Rodrigo. I'm hoping that Rodrigo could be someone like that.
Me, yeah. I have a bias towards traditional 4-3-3. Like 4-3-3 guys. And in this dying game where everybody is a half space inverted, this thing, that Gyökeres guy is a refreshing animal. Somebody that can score ugly goal, good goal, penalty goal, header goal, anything goal, put his name inside.
That guy
will occupy people and allow, like, you don't understand. When you play Arsenal, your team is very, when you watch Arsenal play, or when you're playing against Arsenal, everything is lopsided towards the left. Two things. Where Saka is, right? You focus on that side and watch for set pieces. Match don't finish. That's literally the match. Now, if you have a guy that the defenders the two center backs have to take account all the time, right? Then the idea is that you're trying to free up Saka one-on-one. You're trying to free up your good players in better positions to cause harm. Right, and if you have a center forward that's occupying them because they are scared of what he will do, not somebody like Havertz that's coming, dropping deep to come and touch ball with him. Now, do you want to touch me? I touch you. Like, no, if you have somebody that is pinning them there, then it allows you to play the football that you want to play, like, and be in better positions to score, which now helps in that chance creation thing that you're saying. I think you think chance creation, I'm talking about like, oh, you have to have one Riquelme type of thing that is doing rainbow flick, true pass.
No. I get what you're saying.
You are trying to put, chance creation is putting your team in the best position for them to exploit the other team's weakness and maximize their strength.
Another thing I want to take account of is Gyökeres' speed. Yeah. Realistically, I mean, I've been looking at FIFA ratings. Yes, it's not the best judge to account for pace. But this nigga's pace on FIFA is 92, bro. This guy is faster than Saka. He's Martinelli type of fast.
I was going to say something.
With that build. Nah, that guy is dynamic, man.
I would definitely have preferred him.
Yes, we need to get a left winger.
I think he's a dynamic 9. You guys. I don't think he's not what would I say? He's not necessarily Havertz or Icardi. He still moves around a lot. And if you notice, I think he always drifts to the left too. He drifts to the left, too. Like Sam pointed out, I think he's going to occupy people and probably even move around defenders just by his movements alone, which will probably open up space for Saka or anybody on the right because you can't take your eyes off Gyökeres. But the Madueke, on the other hand, though, I also think will be very, very good for Gyökeres. If you watch the last game, how many minutes did he spend on the pitch? Not that much, but he gave 2 quality crosses, something that Martinelli could not do the entire game.
Who? Madueke?
Yes. Because even though I was wondering if Arteta would use him the way Flick uses Rafinha. That was kind of like on the inside left, not really as a touchline winger. So that's what I was curious about. But I see that his role on that left is just across the ball to whoever the striker is. From what I see. So they'll probably play him as a touchline winger and then maybe Skelly can invert inside.
Yeah, and then when Martinelli plays, then Calafiori plays on
Even
that Skelly one, so he's still another player that it'd be like saying madness the entire boy.
Yeah, it'd be like you defense for your club, man.
Bro,
like everybody. Everybody there on fraud watch for you, man.
When you see these stars,
this guy hope is cooking all Rico cookies on some guys, man.
Like everybody, see, once they start doing all this rubbish, I'm not like, I mean, it's done and done. Like me, honestly, I'm not really putting my hopes too much on the trophy anymore. If we didn't win it last season, this season is going to be way tougher because all teams are done rebuilding. There's been a lot of changes coming in. So it's not. I was more optimistic about last season. So, which honestly didn't go as planned. So, this season, maybe I'll say maybe not even a draw. Maybe not a loss. Like you said, any draw, I'd be convinced. I need to watch anything.
To me, I'm optimistic. I think Arsenal will do well this season.
Who's yours? Who's your first game?
My first team.
United.
First game. Oh yeah, game week one is United. Yeah,
which I feel. See, if we lose that game,
I go to the bar. What's that?
I don't even watch anything again this season.
Man, if you guys United, drop points,
if we cannot
lose,
beat United,
if you guys like, lose to United,
there will be a meltdown.
Like AFTV, the money they will make that day, you will not believe that Robbie guy. He go just. That guy could just enter Forbes. That guy is entering Forbes that night. The money he's making that day.
As I'm saying, this season, there's a lot more of those very, like, emotional-type plays because a lot of teams did transfer. Man, I won't be surprised if they come and pull out one crazy-ass performance. Mm. And that will be a test for this thing because a lot of other teams, like even Chelsea, like, they have well gelled. They've won trophies. Tottenham has a new manager. They are buzzing. City has new signings. Liverpool has new signings. Everybody get firepower now. So I don't see.
So do you?
Yeah,
How many firepower we get?
You get like three guy. You get Zubi.
We just got 96 goals, Gyökeres. 90 something goals, Gyökeres.
Only one. The only person that I saw. Really, I mean, yes, Zubi Mendy is, I'll say he's an upgrade. He's looking, but I can't say 100%.
I can't
right
say
now, like,
100% an upgrade because that party guy was.
That party guy too was key.
That exactly. Guy was octopusing in that midfield.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm hoping is, you're saying availability. Partey played way more games last season, but. That's he did enjoy last season.
In the play for our contract, in the play for we are laughing with the right
anything may play for me, play for
but guys in contract here are usually better safe because in a contract they play for.
But the Zubi Mendy that came, like, yes, he's good. He looks like he can do what Partey does, and he might be able to offer something more. So let me just say that is a replacement for Partey. So really, the only person we signed was Gyökeres.
We signed
Madueke.
That's a bench guy, in my opinion. Madueke is a replacement for Saka. What are you saying? You signed Madueke? You're saying like we signed one player.
Depth is a big issue. Last season,
depth is a big issue. I'm not disputing that fact. But no, be depth. Me say we no win. Like if you don't win Champions League, it's not just about depth. You need the top quality players.
We got to semifinal. We got to semifinal last season.
We
came second.
It's not Madueke that will come and win it for us.
No, it's not about him winning for us, but like the time when you're missing somebody, having quality in your bench is a big factor. Like you cannot be.
I'm not disputing that fact.
I don't think the bench was any of your problems in the quarter and semifinals at all.
Yeah, it was.
Merino.
Merino was our starting striker in the semifinal of the Champions League.
And you won the game.
We lost the game, PSG.
The reason why you lost to Bayern the year before is because you did not have an X factor.
No, right? I agree with that. I was talking about last season. I think last season our bare bone depth was exposed to the whole world to see. The fact that Partey got injured, Partey kept playing in right back, and we've never won a game with Partey in right back, and we had to play him in right back against PSG.
Yes, and let me even remember what happened in that
Wait,
game.
Wait, was Timber what happened to Timber that game?
Timber too was injured. Timber was injured. Yeah, or Timber had a yellow card or something. Like there was something up where Timber couldn't play, but they had to play there.
And then Mourinho playing as a striker for almost half of the season.
Right, but in my own opinion, like I get all these things that I say, but in my opinion, we didn't sign enough people to make such a huge difference.
I think it was your starters, not the. I don't think it was a depth issue.
Every is the injury. The time we lost Saka, who was coming in? Sterling was coming in. The time we lose anybody in defense, they will carry Partey and put him in the right back. The time we lost Havertz, Merino came in.
That last season, we were also reading with injury in that Ben White and Timber.
We kept having injuries throughout the season.
All kept having injuries. And maybe that's another thing that we need to figure out is that why? Because you cannot tell me you don't have enough players.
I don't understand, though. But think about it, though. Like, you guys, let's think about it, right? The only injury you really had... Okay, no, you had two. You had two solid injuries.
We had Odegaard. We had Savage.
I'm talking about the second leg. The second leg, right? The main injury you had was the lack of Havertz or anything. But Merino had already done well against Madrid.
Guy, he's not good. He not do against. It was this guy did
he
very
did well against Merino. Played well against Madrid.
Declarais won the match.
So Merino did
Merino
well.
Did not play against Madrid. Oh come on now! He tried. Why being dishonest here? The main
Madrid is not a good team. Madrid was not good. I'll be honest. Madrid was.
Madrid that Popo Pep.
Madrid was trash. These niggas could not run for shit.
Madrid that Popo Pep.
We destroyed them.
That was sending Pep to the floor.
Our midfield.
That finished. Ah.
Okay, our midfield destroyed their midfield. That was where we won that game.
Agreed. And when the midfield that you couldn't destroy reach, that was where the match was won and lost.
But we don't have Partey now.
But you had him in the second leg and you were only down by one goal.
Second leg is the same.
You had him in the second leg and you were only down by one goal.
Because the idiots went to Ghana.
No. That Partey thing, right? You know what? So the thing about Arsenal fans over the years, they've gotten very good at excuses. Right, but they don't always get the right excuses. That party playing both legs, you are losing that time 110%. I am
maybe
110% convinced, right? Because you were down only one goal, boss. Only one goal. You didn't not like they gave you 3-0 because party wasn't there. You were down one goal, and you played PSG with party in the second leg.
Go watch that game again.
I watched the game. I don't think it's an excuse. They were running rings. They will run rings. The same thing PSG were doing to everybody's midfield.
No, Sam, but you're saying that second leg, we missed a bucket load of chances.
Yeah, but so did they. So did they.
That's fine.
Why are you forgetting that they also missed their chances?
That's
which
fine.
Made it a close game for you to miss your chances.
No, they were the better team. I'm not arguing that. But
I mean, like today now, we go catch you because you ran away from that podcast that we're supposed to do after Arsenal lost. Today, I don't catch you.
But who is to say that if we had Mary?
No, but who is to say Mary, they, but who is to say if they didn't finish their chances, it wouldn't be a close game? You're the only English team to play PSG and not win a match. Let me just let you guys know.
No, I don't see.
Because Aston Villa won at home, they just lost.
I'm not arguing that.
You are the only team to lose home and away to PSG.
I was talking about the depth thing.
The depth thing was not the case.
It's not the depth thing.
It is the upgrade on the starters, which I think you have done now a bit.
Chill. See what I'm saying? Merino was our starting striker that match. We missed a lot of chances. Who are the guiltiest two people?
Let me stop. The reason why I'm not allowing your excuses to land because they hold weight in another place. You miss chances because PSG missed their chances to allow it to be a close game. They missed. I remember Bakula shooting like a goat.
Okay.
You missed chances because Arsenal, because PSG also missed chances with their own bench players too. So that does not hold weight. It cancels out.
I'm saying we didn't have.
Why did you lose to Bayern the year before?
That Bayern match, we were not creating chances, but chance creation was not the problem against PSG because we did create a lot of chances, both in those two legs. In Bayern match, I agree, we couldn't even do anything. But against PSG, we were creating first and second leg. But
also were creating chances too.
That's fine.
I don't see why that is an excuse for you.
I don't see why that's an excuse for you.
If you use missing chances as an excuse when the other team was not creating, right? But you were creating and missing, and then they scored one goal and escaped.
No, that's
when it's an excuse.
The difference
you can't use missing chances as an excuse if the quality, goes out if we, both of you are missing.
We both miss chances.
Yeah, so had, then it doesn't hold any weight.
They had superior quality to us because we didn't have quality.
but that's the starting lineup, not the bench.
Our starting striker is not Merino. Merino was our starting striker in that game. He's not supposed to be our starting striker.
Okay, Havertz is your starting striker, right?
Yes.
So you're saying that the depth was the problem?
Of course. Imagine if you had Joker as our starting striker and Havertz as the bench player.
Didn't the depth get you out of the Madrid whole thing? Didn't Merino play really well?
We're a much superior team to Madrid in those two legs. We're a much superior team to Madrid in those two legs.
I can argue that if Mbappe gets the penalty, right, in that second leg against Madrid, it's a different game and they equalize. I can argue that, and it's a whole different game. So when you say you're much superior, I'm like, yes, you were superior for sure.
See, where quality, different quality shows is in close games at the end of the day. Like, if we had better finishers against PSG, we might have.
I get what you're saying. The Madrid game that we're even talking about, but the one where Declara scored to Van Gaal.
Yeah.
Declara don't do that. Like, the goals that we scored in that game were very stunners. They were crazy.
It's the reason why Declara is a Ballon d'Or contender now.
Not Merino.
It's midfield that won us. Is this thing that won us?
Why do you say it's Merino when they are not multiple? They're not like Merino did not have a bad shooting game against PSG. When you say Merino is not your starting striker,
I'm saying a better striker in that PSG game would have.
How many chances did Merino miss? He scored a goal that was ruled offside. How many chances did he miss?
The heading goal.
How many chances did he miss that you are putting it on him?
It's not just him. But
that's what you're saying now. You're saying it's Merino.
It's part of the problem.
How many chances did he? This is my problem, right? I'll tell you, there's a friend of mine, you guys know him, Shego, right? Mm-hmm. One of the excuses he had for Arsenal drawing to Liverpool, I think, was when Xhaka was riling up the crowd at Anfield. I can't remember the score of the match. You had the 2-2 match, the one that Ramsdale, I think, was it Ramsdale or somebody missed that? It was 2-2, right? And he kept blasting Xhaka, right? It was on Xhaka's case. He was like, why would you know how Anfield fans are? Why would you rile up the crowd? Why would you, like, make them angry and then make Liverpool have morale? And I was like, how can you make this an excuse? Liverpool are playing at home. Even if somebody throw bottle on the floor, they are going to shout. They don't need...
I remember that game.
They don't need... Yeah, I think you guys remember it. Mm-hmm. They don't need an excuse. Like, Xhaka was just the scapegoat for that, but it could have been anything. Maybe a bad tackle from Ben White and the referee gives it to Arsenal. The Liverpool fans lose their mind and start shouting. Anything could have caused that. I feel like you guys make excuses. You make the wrong excuses. That's my problem.
I'm not making excuses.
I'm not even making excuses.
The season is over. Like,
football is a moments game. It's about who takes advantage of whatever moments in a game. Like, whenever you're up, score your chances.
But what helps you? Take advantage in your moments? It's not your quality.
Arsenal didn't take advantage of their own strong moments, in their own strong points. When there were times that PSG match where we were dominating, we could have scored. We did not score.
I see all these things that you're saying. I get it. My biggest problem, I don't see Merino as a problem. Merino is actually even a top baller in Arsenal.
Merino is not a great striker. He cannot be a great striker.
Yes, he's not a great striker, but if you look at his numbers last season, forget great striker or no great striker, he still popped. He popped almost the same amount.
Let me say something. There are so many times I saw this guy fizz a ball just right in front of the post, and Merino was there. He didn't even stretch his leg. He didn't do things you expect a striker to do. I think when you float the ball into the air, yes, he can head it. He can score.
So is it Havertz that does things?
That's what I'm saying. That I think we are stronger because we have Gyökeres and Havertz. Who is better than Merino? On the bench. I think now we have better depth and better first team quality. So you cannot say that we've not improved. We definitely improved. Saka getting injured and Maddox coming in is way better than Sterling coming in for Saka.
Agreed.
Gyökeres as well is a huge improvement. I think this team would have been in a better position to beat PSG than the last season's team with Merino and Sterling supporting Saka.
I 100% believe that. Unless we know what Gyökeres is,
That's what I was trying to say. In that PSG match, our lack of quality, especially in depth, because I don't think Merino starts that game. I mean, if Merino starts any game as a striker this season, someone needs to
go to. So, I get your point. This is what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying we don't also need depth. Like, if we buy, if we are going to buy people, mm-hmm. right? How about you buy a starter and your current starting guy, you have him for squad depth. So instead of buying Madueke, right, you could have bought someone that can actually bench Martinelli, and they have Martinelli as the backup guy.
Madueke
for Saka.
Madueke can bench Martinelli. He'll bench Martinelli.
So you rather Madueke bench Martinelli than a Rodrigo benching Martinelli?
No, of course I prefer Rodrigo, but so, I think
okay.
I think they are both crucial. Having someone like Madueke who can come in for Saka and also bench Martinelli as well as buying Rodrigo. Why not? Because I think having someone that can come in for Saka is something
obviously we're not needed, going to buy a left winger.
Needed
for, and that's why we haven't bought them till now.
I also think having someone like Saka is something we needed for a while.
You said what?
I think having someone that can come in with quality for Saka is something we needed for a while, for two seasons. I mean, the previous season, they said one of the reasons we feel that Saka played how many thousand minutes compared to someone like Foden who played like 1,000 minutes. Like they're overplaying Saka every time. That's problem solved. He doesn't have to be overplayed anymore.
So we'll see how Ateta will do, Sha. Podcast to talk about Arsenal and their troubles.
Okay, fair enough. We've actually spent a fair amount of time talking about Arsenal.
I think Zubimendi, I'm very excited for Zubimendi. He's probably the person I'm most excited for in Arsenal, to be honest. And
I'm optimistic about
that Ekitike boy. I like him, to be, I don't know, lie. I like Ekitike. From this little I've seen, I think that guy will be very, very good. João Pedro too.
You're
not going to shock me if João Pedro end up competing for top scorer at this point. What does the score
mean?
João Pedro is one. I won't even lie. I was hating on João Pedro from Brighton, like, because I had that nigga on my FPL for some.
I had him too, and I was expecting. And when they didn't give him penalties, man, it is that vexing me.
Yes, it's only penalty that
life. I had that guy FPL too.
He was a penalty merchant. He was always looking for penalties, even when you play him, when he actually plays, when you watch the highlight, Baba is just always diving.
That's what he's
so maybe for. Now because he knows that if he wins penalty, now Palmer go kick him. That's why he's number looking for a penalty again. Because I don't understand like how this guy has just been buzzing since. Like I actually picked it this time, and I'm like, hopefully it'll be different. But
I'm surprised that he's on form. Like I'm happy,
right?
But I'm surprised because between him and Delap, funny enough, those are two forwards that I did not want. I'll be the first to say it. Those are two forwards I did not want. The only reason I was fine with Delap was because, okay, it's 30 million. Like, it's cheap. Mm-hmm. Like, collect it. Just collect.
Also, a different type of striker.
A different type of striker, for sure. So, that's why I was like, okay. Him and João Pedro have... João Pedro has not passed 5 non-penalty goals in his Brighton career. 5. Like, Delap, right? I watched him... He was good in some games. The Chelsea fans that were impressed with him against when we played Ipswich, I wasn't really impressed. I'm not even going to lie. I was not impressed at all. But the Chelsea fans were like, oh my God, he's leading the line. I'm like, guys, this is just a bad game for Chelsea. A different day, these guys are collecting 5. But
that Brighton boy, dude.
Which one?
That one that Ferguson.
Ivan Ferguson.
I thought that guy was the truth. He's in Roma now. Yeah. I thought that guy was going to go far. That's actually who I thought was going to do well. This is why we are not true football analysts, I guess. Because I thought that guy going far.
I thought he was next game.
That guy for like 100 million now.
Yeah, they did. Brighton. They did, didn't they?
Oh, well, this Baliba too. Oh, well, these guys are crazy, bro. They say 120 million for Baliba. I'm looking like, I mean, Manu will probably still pay. But like,
he'll definitely pay.
But like, I'm thinking, in what world, bro? Even Caicedo, yes, let's say he's doing well.
I agree when we were trying to buy him, I didn't think it was, but I cannot lie.
Caicedo has justified
that is 100 million Pompeo.
Wow. He's a great DM.
That guy is a build up cheat code, right? Forget the Kante tackling things that he has. He's actually a build up cheat code. Like, he literally is he is the key to starting your football. Like, you on the TV, I'll be on the football.
That's engine.
He is the key to starting. Like, remove the tackling, remove the can. I'm not even talking about like the Kante things. I'm not talking about the ball recoveries, you know, the cardio and all that. No, I'm talking about on the ball. On the ball.
On the ball, he doesn't do much though. He just passes.
Oh my god.
He just gives it to Palmer every time.
He doesn't give it to Palmer. No, that is not even true.
Never think I said a run with the ball, bro.
That's carrying the ball.
You don't have to run with the ball.
And I will show you, for you saying this, I will send you clips of Caicedo running with the ball. Like, I like that. You know my favorite thing to do, right? Is when people have misconceptions about Chelsea, right? Like, when people like just have an idea of Chelsea and say that they're like,
no, I watch Chelsea's game.
No. I know you do. I mean, we wouldn't be having a football podcast if we only watch our team's games. I don't think any of us do that. I think we watch a healthy amount of other
people's games. I think Caicedo is worth 100 million.
I'm not saying he's not worth 100 million.
No, we're talking on the ball now, Abi.
Yeah. We're talking like running with the ball. Like, a lot of Caicedo, and I like his gameplay. To me, I see Caicedo as his biggest attribute is his tackling, and that is ball winning. You know, if you need someone that will talk somebody down,
I got a dog.
Collect that ball. He's a yes, that's what he's for. But
he's a pest.
He's a pest. Yeah, that is the strategy. You know, chase people down, tackle you, give you a very strong tackle. Caicedo is your guy. But when we start talking about, like, I mean, he knows how.
Hello.
Wait, what happened? Hello.
I think we're lost signal. My point is that.
You're here, sir.
Oh, maybe lost signal.
Sorry.
I'm going in and I got to drop soon.
Okay.
What did he say? I think Caicedo is very is good in the that first phase of play. I don't think he contributes that much to attack, honestly, which is why
that's not his job. Role. Like, that's why I said on the ball, Caicedo is in the 90th percentile for like passes completed and you know, like within versus midfielders, like in Europe's top five leagues. He's not just a tackling machine or whatever, like a ball winner. Yes, those are the attributes that stand out the most. But he's a cheat code in build-up. Literally, like, the only reason Poch had any hope of build-up was because he just left him there alone. Like, he will not, like, at his best, he will not lose the ball. Progressive passes, like, are really, really high. He's not just a shin kicker or tackling machine or... He's way more than that. That is why he's a 100 million pound player.
Kante was pretty good at progressing the ball too. So,
but Kante was progressing the ball with carries. Two different types of players. Caicedo is progressing the ball with passes.
So are you trying to say Caicedo gives long passes?
Caicedo has more progressive passes than Kante did.
No long passes. I think he's very good at just shuffling passes.
And even long passes. Even long passes more than Kante. Even long passes more than Kante. Even long passes more than Kante.
I think Kante was better in ball carrying.
Kante was definitely better at ball carrying. But in terms of like long passes, progressive passes, Caicedo is elite at that.
Elite is a stretch, but
it's 90% pass completion is in versus Europe's top five midfielders.
Can be Palmer. Pass completion can be Palmer coming down and saying, give it to Palmer. And you have to dig into him now.
What if it's 90% in progressive passes too? Does that still go to Palmer?
see,
Palmer, do you think that Palmer is? Caicedo is the one that passes to Palmer the most, or he's? Do you think that Palmer and Caicedo's passes go to Palmer the most? I don't think that's true at all. Like, at all. Like, that's not even a start anywhere.
Not for either of two of them, short, long, anything.
There's no heavy connection with Caicedo and Palmer at all.
Next time, I'll be recording as Caicedo is passing to Palmer.
You can record. But, I know. Now, because of an agenda, you'll be checking how many times he did pass.
Honestly, and if he doesn't give Palmer, he's giving it to Enzo. Those are the two people that I'd be giving. Once Caicedo collect ball, Caicedo is not thinking of giving a through ball to freaking Jackson. No.
He did against West Ham. He's a DM. How many DMs have high assist rates? Like, I'm out of curiosity. Like, because I'm confused as to.
Zubimendi is looking like he's gonna be that guy.
Okay, how many did he have now for La Real, where he came from?
I honestly didn't check it.
Exactly. Where did the DM start getting judged by assists?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't
think Caicedo is a Sergio Busquets, but
Busquets didn't have assists.
Yeah, but I don't think
Busquets didn't have assists. Forget that he didn't have assists. Which DM has assists?
Giving a ball a defense splitting pass doesn't necessarily mean to end up with the assist. Most of the time, a DM's passes is not just going to.
The beauty of Busquets was not defense splitting passes either, even if it didn't lead to an assist. Beauty of Busquets was. I hope you guys are not going to use Barca midfielders for your stats because you will lose. John Terry has more goals than Iniesta. Career goals that Iniesta. I hope it's not backup players that are coming to start here.
I don't care about stats, honestly. But I feel like Busquets is a more. How will I put this?
You want to use him as the gold standard for DMs, right? That's what you're going to
say. For a register who starts creative plays.
Agreed.
I think Caicedo is somewhere in between Busquets and a destroyer. Like, what's it called now? Who's an example of a very good defensive destroyer?
Casemiro.
Casemiro, something like that.
Prime Casemiro. Madrid Casemiro.
I think Caicedo is somewhere in between because I actually see him pass the ball well. But I would say...
I don't know why he said it like defense splitting passes like... Rodri does that.
Rodri is different.
Rodri doesn't stay back in between.
He advances a lot too. You always catch Rodri very close to goal, even scoring.
That's true.
Rodri is an all-rounder. That's why some people are rating him over Busquets, even though I just think they're different type of play and different responsibilities. But Rodri is very, very... is an all-rounder, in a sense. But I actually wanted to talk about why a lot of players these days are trying to force transfer moves. I don't think I remember any summer where, it's about four players now doing the exact same thing. Wissa in Brentford, Isak in Newcastle, even Xhaka forced a move through to Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of guys, it's as if player power is on the rise.
I think the Isak one is very bad because I think there are two sides to the story. Like, from what I'm hearing is that, everybody's saying, yeah, he looks bad. Why is he forcing a move like this? Like, why didn't you do this when Liverpool and Arsenal had not bought, Ekitike and Gyökeres respectively? Why didn't he move then? Now, most people have gotten their main targets. And now you're stuck. But apparently from his camp, he had told Newcastle towards the end of the season that he intended to leave. Right? And he had let them know. I don't know whether he had told them. I have to reread the article again. I don't know whether he had told them that he would. They had a gentleman's agreement of some sort that he was going to do
something like that.
Yeah. So now, they're okay, you're not going and whatnot. I feel like that's why he's now pushing, I think between him and his agent, they're not going about it the right way, personally.
Yeah.
And I understand you have ambition, right? I truly do. Like, it doesn't seem like Newcastle were getting their targets, and he was looking like, I don't want to be here. I want to be in a successful... I know the career of a footballer is short, so I want to be in a successful environment. And who can blame him, right? You know, because when teams want to sack you, right, it's always looking like players are greedy or wicked, but that is really, really teams that are terrible. Like, when the team doesn't want you again, like, forget all the loyalty that you're doing. Yeah, they'll kick you out. They will legit kick you out. So I don't blame players when they try and do that.
I don't either. Well, because just what you just said now, I mean, remember Donnarumma in PSG.
Yeah.
They say that Enrique wants a more ball playing kind of
keeper. Yeah, and then he's now like, look, you kick the player out like as if he's not a human being. It's always very
Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't, not just Champions League, treble. Four trophies treble before he left. Like, okay, today's one is the fifth one. Yeah, four trophies. PSG are on five now. So give them four trophies, and then this one they just want to do is courtesy of Chevalier or whatever.
Yeah, but it's interesting, Shag. I guess to these days...
I like it. I think it's showing ambition, because I actually got scared that players were losing ambition going to... Because of it just seemed to me like the rise of Saudi and...
I mean, back in the days, though, if you didn't want a player to leave, like, they usually want to stay. But I feel like I'm seeing more... Like, hell no, I'm not.
I remember Galas now that said he was going to score own goal if he didn't. He didn't let him.
Yeah, but there were few and fine between. God, this is one.
Or then wingy drive to another. Or then wingy drive.
Guess what? He still stayed back.
Yeah, because they did not. Deadline day close.
Suarez wanted to. They said you can play with under 20 somethings. And he still stayed in Liverpool.
I think the players are more ambitious. Would I say more ambitious?
I think they have more power.
I think they have more power, yeah.
I think they have more power right now. Because this is Gyökeres thing. Like, Baba, you don't agree. So I feel like it's like a wave eventually, from what I'm seeing.
I think you... Although, I have a sneaky suspicion that they might resolve it, though.
Actually...
But he did say he will never play for them again as well.
Newcastle are in a position of strength, though. Are you going to not play for three years and there's a World Cup coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're in a position of strength.
Why I think he'll play. I think he'll play. If Liverpool don't come back and come in the market for him, I think he'll play. I think they'll vex. Fans will call him name, put sign, you're a rat, you're a snake, this. Then one day when Newcastle are going through shit, they'll bring him, he'll score, and all will be forgiven, and then he'll be back in the team. That's why I was very like coy on my Newcastle prediction. I was like, I think if he plays and they get somebody else too, right through the door, yeah, Newcastle will be just fine.
They do. Our boy Osimhen, and that person we won first.
I wanted him. That was my number one pick for Chelsea. That was my number. I couldn't see why.
I wanted him in Arsenal too.
I was
not Osimhen's biggest fan.
That was my number one pick. I would have legit. I think I've passed the age of buying players' names on my shirts, like jersey, like buying players' names just rather than buying. But I think that one, I would have like, you know, made an exception. Like, I watched that guy a lot at Napoli. I was very, very impressed. In fact, I watched him at Leo Self when he popped against Chelsea.
I think Club Europe missed a trick with Osimhen. I understand that. I think
his team's terrible. I think he has a very horrible team, horrible agent. Like,
I think his agent is horrible, and I think whoever
his team, not like his. Like
his advisors.
Yeah, his advisors, yes.
It's terrible.
All these Twitter guys, all these Bujadem guys, all these many Twitter.
See that thing like Lineker said about the people like hearing rumors about him in clubs. I think that's very, very true. No, Nigerians are insulting him, but I think it's very true because he's not the first person in football that I've heard say that.
Mm-hmm.
Even I remember listening to ESPN and they were asking, I think it was Jules, why clubs are not going for Osimhen and everything. He mentioned something different, but I think he developed a bad reputation. Like you said, I think his team, whoever his advisors are, getting involved in social media drama, they know.
Yeah, I don't
know. These years, they're seeing what's happening in Man U. with Rashford and the rest. I don't think anybody wants...
Of which Rashford, to me, is even, like, not even a bad... I don't think he does any of these bad things that he's... Like,
I don't think Rashford has been involved in half what...
Guy, I don't even think... Yes, and they are trying to kill that guy there. But I think Osimhen's group is just... They are just not... They are not a serious bunch. Like, yeah. You need guys that are... Yeah?
Talking about contract stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, like, you don't... That is a very, like, unserious group. You don't... You are, and you can't blame him, right? Because when you come from nothing, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the people that you try and carry out. But if at some point he should have, like, and I guess he may have missed the trick because he's getting older now. At some point, you have to, like, pick quality people around your team because you are your brand is the most important thing here.
Yeah.
Your success is what made you you, and I think he had to pick a better team.
Yeah. Like I think he would have done well for a club. I don't think he would have been this dramatic if he went to like a Chelsea or Arsenal. I don't think so. But I guess they will not see it that way, seeing what's been happening. Like, but I think it would have been a very, very good buy for whichever of those clubs, Arsenal or even Chelsea.
I think it would have been good for both. Especially Chelsea. I think
I know Arteta won't. Aubameyang was enough stress for Arteta.
Arteta is running a tight ship there, man. It's either him or nobody. Arteta runs a very, very, very tight ship.
I think our next conversation will be interesting after Man U's game.
I think our next game. I think it's tonight is well, in UK it's probably midnight, so it's Premier League Eve. So, what do you think your prediction for Arsenal?
I think Arsenal win 2-0.
You're playing at Old Trafford, no?
Yeah, but I think Arsenal win 2-0.
2-0? Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you guys win. I truly hope you guys win. Because if you don't, I think a 1-1 draw should be fine. I think that if a 1-1 draw, imagine a 2-1.
United. A 1-1 draw will cause swahila.
A 2-1 Leeds United win. Ah, man. Armageddon. Rapture.
I don't want to. Even
that one, me. That day, we have to do the podcast. That day, as it is hot. That's the hot. That podcast have to happen that day. But yeah, I think you guys will win. Like, I think a 2-1 win will be fine. I think you score 2, then man, you score 1, think this hope. And then, but really, really, there wasn't any hope.
Anyway, Broski, it was a nice conversation.
But yeah, man, it was great, man.
We'll see how our predictions work out.
Let's see how it goes.
All right, man. It was nice talking to you.
You too, brother. Have a good one.
Peace.